Amen. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert, be sober mind, be diligent. The devil prowls around like what? He not a roaring lion, though he act like one. The key is he functions through deception. Resist him. Stand firm. Stand secure in what? The faith. Resist him. Right? How do you resist the devil? How? You resist him by submitting yourself to God first. You can't just bind the devil and you're not submitted to God. If everybody could stand in reverence for the word, if your legs are broke, stand on one. But you resist him by yielding to God. If you don't yield to God, you're not going to be able to resist no devil. He said, because he knows, he says, in the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you done suffered a while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, established. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified. After hearing the word of truth, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Ask for utterance, ask for the anointing, and ask for you to do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a high five and say, this is going to be good today. You should stay up. You should stay up. So we was talking about open doors last week, and how many of you received that? You should receive it. We're going to talk about today that even though God has sent forth a word like that, you got to defend it. You got to defend it. You have to resist the enemy. You have to defend your word. When God give you something, it's up to you to, like he's given us the word of God. We should know how to defend certain things, especially like salvation. Like if a person trying to talk you out of being saved, if you don't know nothing else about the Bible, you should be able to defend that piece right there. So you have to learn the Bible. You have to know how to defend critical things, and one of them, you have to know how to stand in faith. So when the Lord says that he has opened a door before you, you have to stand firm in those areas. Everybody say stand firm. You have to know how not to bend, not to break, not to back down, not to cower, not to remove your confession of faith. Because, you know, it's interesting. You don't have to raise your hand, but I would want to know the amount of people. I wish I knew the amount of people who went forth in the following week talking about God has opened the door for me. See, because we talk about what we believe. And if you did it, that the enemy put somebody in your face to try to laugh in your face or make you feel like it wasn't relevant or wasn't real. That you get up the next day, and feel like you was facing a closed door. And you have to be able to defend what God has said. Everything that God tell you, you got to be able to defend that. If nothing else, say just stand firm in the faith. Because as he's rebuilding our lives and restoring stuff, he's putting things in motion. Meaning that you hear it in heaven or you hear it in your spirit, and then as you release it, the natural realm starts moving, whether you think so or not. So a door just doesn't disappear. If I open that door, it's the hinges are there. I got to turn the knob. I have to apply some force, even if it's ever so gently, to push the door back so that I can walk through, or I'm simultaneously walking through that door, but I am moving in belief that the door is open. And I am walking through the door while I'm pushing the door. I'm applying some force to it because this the falling world, gravity holds everything down and try to restrict things in this thing. So without force, nothing moves. So you have to know as we're going forward in this that God is trying to really, for some of us, like restore our identity. You would be surprised at the people who, even though God has been trying to move them forward in their life, they hate who they was, and somehow they've locked that old identity into they now, even though if any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. And so they won't go after certain things because what I did in my past, say the past is the past. If you in Christ, you a new creation. So I have to start moving in my new identity. I must learn who I am in God, and then I must do those things to move in. He'll try to tell you that you don't have a legacy. He'll point to, people preach more about generational curses than they do about generational blessings. And even if your family live under a curse, I guarantee you it's bearing a blessing. Amen to this. Even though everybody in there is living under a curse, you cannot exist in this life without God having some type of blessing on your life. You survived because God wanted to bless you. So you may be living through or in a curse, but it's standing on top of your blessing. You tell somebody, say, you got a blessing tied to your name. And so God will restore us. There are people that the devil has embarrassed publicly. But God not just going to restore you privately. You better hear what I'm saying. He going to restore your name publicly. Amen to this. He not going to let the devil, it's these people, you know, they like to apologize in private. They tear your name down in public and want to apologize in private. They talk crazy to you in public and then won't apologize when they get in the car. You understand? No, but God gonna make the devil apologize and life apologize to you publicly as he restores your name and restores your identity. I don't care who it was. I don't care who they thought they was. Say, God gonna make them apologize publicly. So when this happened, you had to be willing to step through the door. Say, step through the door. This sanctuary is different from my office. When you step through the door, everything should change. I hope every room in your house don't look the same. I hope you ain't got refrigerators and plates everywhere. All rooms have a different mindset. It has a different identity to it, right? So when you step through the door, something should change. As you step through this door, you're going to find out that there's change on the other side. But God not going to drag you through. What do you got to do? You got to walk by some faith. You got to do some things that you ain't done. And I'm going to attack some mindsets to show people how the enemy will lock you into certain things because you are born again in Christ, but you will not change your mind. Tell somebody, say, step into it. When God opens a door, you got to be refused to be locked out. You know, I have the key to this door, but, you know, other people, I don't bring them. But so other people open the door most of the time for me. They unlock the door. So when you step through the door, you have to refuse to be locked out. What would I look like being the pastor and they don't lock me outside my office? What would it be like for you to know who you are in God and feel like you locked outside of a blessing? Do you just take that? What if God has said that healing is the children's bread? Do you stay locked outside of healing because you got a bad doctor's report and they the best in the city and that's the best hospital in the country and they known all around the world, but yet they locking you outside of healing and forcing you to stand up under some death sentence or some bad diagnosis? No, you got to be willing by faith to step into the healing. Healing is your portion. That's what God say. Healing is my portion. And that's not only physically, that is mentally, that's emotionally, that is financially. Healing, say, healing is my portion. And you have to refuse to be denied when God is saying he's trying to bless you. One of the ways, Revelation 3, one of the ways that the enemy does it is that he'll get you locked into listening to bad news. People think they got some strong prophetic word by saying Jesus coming back. It is prophetic, but we all know that. We all know that. That's nothing new. We know that the earth is decaying right before our eyes. We know there's going to be some judgment in the earth. Who he judging? And why is it being judged? If I'm walking in righteousness and they're walking in sin, do I have to bear the weight of their sin if I'm walking in righteousness? We know that there are things just happening in the earth every single day. But the way the enemy undoes a move of God, because God sometimes goes against the grain, meaning that when he's trying to create an up season for you, he'll do it in a season that's a down season for the world. Because the world is not his. His born again people are his. So when God is trying to make something obvious that he's involved in somebody's life, it's like taking you up, he'll do it in a cycle that everybody knows that this is the Lord's doing in your life. And they could be going down. And the world could be going through a catastrophe, and the whole time he blessing his people. Because there's always a group of people that'll believe God for the impossible or a move of God when everything is wrong. They don't listen to the report of the devil. They believe the report of the Lord. So we've been accustomed and trained to ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, whatever your thing is. We listen to this and it poisons us. It'll make you distrust humanity or distrust God. We know that boy shot up them people. That was wrong. I wonder how many people God put in that boy's life to witness to him, and they would not witness to him, and the devil was moving in him. I wonder how many churches that boy went to demonized, and nobody could even cast the devil out of him until the devil manifested through murder. See, sometimes it's always not what's happening, it's what we fail to do, because sometimes we believe the report of the Lord. And the whole thing is the enemy's trying to get people to be fearful and not believe God and distrust humanity and believe all people are bad and all people are trying to kill you. All people, you walking down the street. Ain't nobody thinking about mugging you or raping you. That man trying to get home to his wife, but you distrust everybody. And you can miss open doors when God is trying to bless you because you are drinking the devil's Kool-Aid. Tell somebody, say, don't drink the devil's Kool-Aid. Revelation 3, I'm going to read down to about 7. It says, the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saying that this is that he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. Watch this. He that openeth and no man shuts it. He opened it. No man can shut you out of what God opens for you. He said he opens it, no man shutteth it. And if he shut it, no man can open it. Do you know sometimes we are mad about our life, about closed doors, and nothing that we have done has ever opened it. But I'm seeking God. But the door won't open. Yeah, but I want this. But the door won't open because God shut the door. Sometimes the shut door is not always the adversary. Sometimes the shut door is God trying to steer your life. He's trying to order your steps. And you can be beaten on a door that God, obviously, if God wanted it open, he say no man could shut it. But it's sealed. But then there are doors that God has opened, and this is the door that you should be looking for. And this is what the Lord had put in my head, my spirit this morning. He said, start looking around. Tell somebody, start looking around. God said, opportunities are presenting themselves to you, but you have been ignoring them. Things that other people don't want. and they are walking away from, but you are drawn to it. God said, that's your opportunity. That's the thing that I have assigned for you. But sometimes we don't want nothing unless everybody wants it. And God took their desire away from something you've been looking at and you've been drawn to it, but everybody else don't want it. Opportunities through jobs that people don't want. And you say, it's a menial job. Yeah, but he gonna make you the manager. Don't want to be the manager. Just take the job. It's a stepping stone for you. Say, there's opportunities before me. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you. He says, an open door. Say, I got an open door before me. Mm-hmm. An open door, and no man can shut it. So what the devil tries to do, he tries to do secret and undermined stuff to stop you. Refuse to be denied. He'll use people. You got to get delivered from people. If all he has to do is use people to talk about you, you're weak. Because you believe this stuff that, you know, words can do more damage than physical damage if you let them. Amen. See, because I'm going to attack this because I've heard this just so much lately, that words can do more than physical damage. Not if I shoot you to the point of death. You can't recover from that, can you? I say you can't recover from that, can you? But I can recover from a negative word. I can rewire and wash my mind with the word of God, that words that were piercing and arrows of darts to bring me down, God can remove them. You know, you would think if you get shot through the head with a bow and arrow, most of the time they cannot remove something like that. That's pretty much the end of it. But if it's spiritually done, God can extract that fiery arrow from your mind and leave no residue that your mama called you trash. That your daddy said you weren't going to never be nothing. That your brothers and sisters laughed at you and told you, made you be feel like you was the lesser of the whole bunch. But then God get a hold to you and God say, walk through this door. This door is going to repair your mind. Walk through this door. This door is going to repair your spirit. Walk through this door. This door is going to repair what you think about yourself. Because God knows as a man thinketh, so is you. So is he, so are you, because that's what you think about yourself. But God got another vision for you. He said, I know the plans that I think. So I got to come in agreement with God somehow and allow God to say, God, they have shot this in me. I have not been able to get past this. This has hurt me so bad. This is affecting my future. Perform spiritual surgery. And you know what God will do? God will get it out and God will make you whole. God will get it out and God will make you whole. So like for a person like me, words don't affect me like that. Because most of the time, I ain't thinking about you. When you think about him, you lose sight of what other people think about you. Tell somebody, you got to get delivered from words. I don't know why I'm stuck here. Why would a word really hurt me that you say about me? I believe what you say is true. But you be crying talking about it's a lie. What you crying for? If it's a lie. Why do you feel some kind of way? Because they spoke to you that way? Do you believe that? Now, when you believe what God say, God has to almost come back to us 1,000 times when he says, you're the righteousness of God. But you just said it, called me something derogatory once. And I'm working on something. But I believe that. But God has to tell you that you are a royal priesthood, that you are kings and you are priests. Created in my image. He have to tell you that 1,000 times. Because we give more credibility sometimes to the demonic realm over God's spirit working in us. God say you entrepreneur. You looking at the fact that you're driving a Beetle to work. And he'll tell you, go down this road. Stop in this place. Talk to these people. And lo and behold, in a few years, remember I told you sometimes you have to apply pressure to the door. You have to walk through it by faith. And but in a few years, your whole life don't look the same. In a few years, some of your lives are not going to look the same. It's not going to look the same. He says, these people here in Philadelphia, they under pressure. Economic pressure. Actually, that region, I think they said on volcanoes and like earthquakes. The people were going through and they hanging on by a wing and a prayer. Anybody ever been to that place in your walk with God? Well, you just hanging, you just barely hanging on. You don't have no real strength. You got some strength because you're showing up. You have some strength because you do open your Bible up every now and again. And so he said, strengthen what you have left, even though you're under pressure, and you have to believe and that God is faithful. And watch this. If you believe God is faithful, we got to stay faithful. You got to stay faithful to God. So what if I don't think God is being faithful to me? If he don't move fast enough, does that give me a reason to be unfaithful? How do we become unfaithful? We start, because the one thing that God wants from us is our affection. He wants our worship. He wants communion with us. So we call ourselves sometimes punishing God. We don't pray. Can I park right here for a minute? I'm going to talk about prayer in a second. But much of the modern church is begging for the old church. They remember how it was when they went to church with Big Mom and them. They remember the old preachers. And people, seasoned people, say the church ain't the same. They're not wrong. But they don't know what to do to reverse it. They do, but they don't. They do know what to do, but they don't do it. And the thing that people are begging God to do in these great moves that God can do, is willing to do, is not happening, Sister Sims. And this is what God gave me. He said, we're not seeing the difference between what happened with the old church and the new church. Watch this. He said, because the modern church is prayerless. The old church, not preachers and leaders. Members had prayer lives. If the preacher showed up, he showed up. But if he had a need, he can come to y'all and leave with a breakthrough. Because they had a prayer life. Amen. But the modern church is begging and copying, trying to emulate old preachers, old church mamas, they grandmama, but they not like their grandmama. Because the more comfortable our lives have become, the less we talk to God. But they struggle kept them on their face. They didn't go to counseling sinners with marital problems. They went on their face before God. They didn't move back in with their parents when they had marital problems. They had to thug it out in the spirit, and they prayed that man or woman out of clubs, off alcohol, and put them in a better position that they can experience the move of God. Churches could open and people would feel the presence of God because, unlike the modern church, people didn't run from prayer sessions. Amen. So what the church, the modern church, has tried to do is replace prayer with activities. Children's events, children's programs, practices, programs, and all these every other month, calling in preachers from around the country when nothing's going to move God until people really want to hear from God. And you don't decide, brother, that you want to hear from God on Sunday morning. You wait for the preacher to confirm something on Sunday that God already done gave you on Thursday. And by the time you get here on Sunday, your spirit is already stirred up looking for God to confirm what he said to you on Thursday. But really, 90% of 99% of the church people's problem is that they do not have a prayer life. And they do not understand that you, a prayerless person, is a person that's under a strong demonic attack. They're up under a demonic attack. When you lose your desire to pray, Sister Farrah, you're losing under a demonic attack. I'm preaching this real good. When you lose your desire, sis, to talk to God, you're losing that battle. And how do you get back? You stop right there. You take a real assessment of not where people believe you at, where you know you at. Amen to this. Not where people think you at, where you know you really at. And so this is what's killing the church. When I say killing the church, I'm talking about killing the because when the Spirit of God is really in a place and moving in a place, it draws people even if they just walking by. Amen to this. When it'll draw people. This church didn't even have signs. I didn't have signs up for the first 7 years. And then people were still finding us on the back of a building. Amen to this. No social media, and they were still finding us on the back of a building. Okay, so what's happening? I don't know why I'm going here. This is not my stuff, but maybe this is what God wants to hear. What's happening to a person, like people come to church and they fall asleep in church? What's happening? No, they ain't tired. What's happening to that person? That man done labored, he done studied, he done prayed, and you can sleep through it. It's not the sermon, it's what's happening or not happening in your heart. When you can sleep on the word, that's not a preacher problem. That's a pupil problem. That's a person in the seat. That person is spiritually dying because it's not the excitement behind the word. Thy word is spirit. And when your spirit hear the word, your spirit should wake up. Your spirit should come alive. That's why if I really want to go to sleep, I won't read the Bible when I get into bed, because I will literally be up hours because my spirit wakes up. No preacher yelling, but the word will wake your spirit up. So when you see people passing out and not attentive to the word of God, you're looking at a problem in a person. Where does this stem from? If they're born again, they're not talking to God. They're not spending no time with God. God is a, ask your neighbor, is God a pastime to you? If God is a pastime, sir, nothing else that he says or does really matter until you have a need. Ask somebody else, is God your pastime? I mean, you'll talk to him when you ain't got nothing else to do. You'll come to church when you ain't got nothing else to do. You know, if you're boys, you'll go with them. But if I got something to do, they'll say, don't let God be your pastime. Because in this season, it'll close that door. It'll give the devil enough time to close your doors. And you got to be active in this season. Hannah was a person that refused to be denied. You know that story? Where here she is barren. We're talking about God trying to open up doors to get you in a place where you can produce again, where you can thrive again, where you can come up. You understand? Christians shouldn't be down. All Christians get knocked down, but even when you're down, you got enough to look up. You got enough spiritual sense to look up. That it definitely, if I'm in a worship spirit, a worship setting, I'm not going to let me being knocked down keep me from giving God what's due unto him. Even though I'm down, I'm in a worship service, so I know I can look up and I can find him. Tell your neighbor, say, look up three times. Look up, look up, look. Even if you're knocked down, you got to be able to look up. And here she is in a season of her life that she is barren, but she would not accept that as her final story. And the Bible says that she went into intense prayer. So much so that the onlookers thought that what? She was drunk, but she wasn't drunk. She done tapped into the spirit. You ever seen a person really get drunk in the spirit? Some of us ain't, because we don't really know how to respect, we don't recognize how the spirit moves. We have been trained by entertainment. But there is a time when a person can literally be drunk in the spirit, where they give a resemblance of, because their body is overwhelmed. But she was not going to be denied her breakthrough, and she kept going after God until, guess what, her womb opened up. I'm trying to tell somebody else, keep going after God until your womb opened up. Keep going after God until the door opens up. But you have to start off, where you're going to start, brother, in intense prayer. Just you and your prayer closet, you and God, not somebody, can you come pray with me today? No. The things you want to share with God, you don't want to talk about around people. Say, go in your own prayer closet. I'm talking about the stuff that you don't want nobody to know, your little secret stuff. You don't want to talk about that in no open prayer. You want to go before the Father, and you want to go in intently until you get your turnaround. Tell somebody, say, your turnaround is right here. Refuse to be denied, because the enemy is going to attack your open door. How does he attack open doors? If the door is Christ, he ain't attacking Christ. He only attacked Jesus because Jesus had a body. You let that sink in. He only attacked Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, because he is now in a body. But Jesus is in every book of the Bible. You don't see him attacking Jesus. You don't see him going into heaven and causing warfare with God. Maybe angels and maybe, you know, Micah and they came to get Moses. But you don't never see him personally attacking God. Because the Bible says that God can deal with Satan by the finger of God. He ain't even comparable. Amen to this. He ain't even comparable to attack God. He didn't attack Jesus Christ. He attacked Jesus the man. You better hear what I'm saying. So when if Jesus is the door, John 10, and God says, I've opened the door, and if you come through me, your opportunities are there. Do you think that the enemy is going to attack the door? No, he know he can't win. So how does he attack us mainly? He attacks humanity, sis, mainly through the mind. Deception. He attacks people through the mind. I wasn't gonna go here, but let's go here for a minute. Can you take a little bit today? Let's go through some scriptures. Grab your Bible and where I want to start. Go to 2 Corinthians, and then we'll go back up. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. He attacks people through their mind. Because we have this ability, and I'm gonna go back to it, so you'll hear me repeat this again. To shut down demonic attacks. Everybody say, shut it down. You don't have to be afraid of devils and demons. You can shut them down. Are you born again? Let me see your hands if you're born again. Thank you for the people who told the truth. Amen. I appreciate that. Get saved today, though. But as a born again believer, you can shut it down. I've never understood personally in my life how people know they're under demonic attacks or warfare, any type of warfare, and they just take it. I don't understand how people stay, and I know, you know, people have their own reasons. I don't know how people can stay in abusive relationships. I don't know how you can just sit there and let them beat you up. I'd risk the escape and death rather than sit there and let you beat me up every day. Amen to this. But I'm not going to let you just, a prisoner of war. I'm not just, I know if I stay here as a prisoner of war, if you're in war, that you, if the longer you stay there, the more chances you stand of them killing you. Guess what? Day one, I'm trying to escape. They're like, you got to dig a bunch of deep holes for this one and put him in because he gonna climb out. Tell somebody, you should keep trying to climb out. But I'm not going to let the devil just keep abusing me. How do you do that? Psychologically, you have to buy into what, I don't know why I'm going this way this morning. Psychologically, you have to buy into it. You almost have to start believing that you belong there and that there's no way out. But if you can make it to the door, if you can get to Jesus, you can get out. But when you talk about 2 Corinthians 10, let's read maybe 4 and 5. When you there, say, I am there. Let's start at verse number 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, you don't fight with the flesh. You don't fight with the flesh. There are times where you have to fight, but when you're talking about spiritual things, you don't fight with the flesh. He goes on to say, he says, for the weapons of your warfare, the stuff you got to use in warfare, he say they are not carnal. Now, this won't make a lot of sense to people because people don't try to learn. They don't try to learn how to do it themselves. They always look for somebody to do it for them. But we're in a season now where you got to fight to get through that door. Amen to this. He says it's not carnal. He says, but it is mighty to God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds 3 times. Casting down imaginations, everything that do what? Exalt itself, guess who? The knowledge of God, what you know about God as a truth. He comes to exalt himself above that. He must get you to believe through accusations, through these things that he says about you. He must get you to believe it. As a matter of fact, I think the Hebrew word, when you interpret the word Satan, it means accuser. His name means accuser. So he'll accuse you of things. He'll talk crazy to you. He'll put you down, and you have to believe that. But most of the things that we think that are real in our lives, they are really imaginations. So you're not dumb. You was told you was dumb. And you, God has your expiration date already planned, but somebody been telling you, you're going to die early. Say, I'm still here. Because he'll put these imaginations in your mind to make you think that what God has said about you can never come to pass, Sister Baker, and it's all lies. We can have the best husband, the best wife, and the whole time the devil be telling you they don't love you. No, not in a bad season, in a season when they're good to you and they're kind to you and they're providing for you and they doing things for the kids and we're praying together. And then all of a sudden out the blue, you're talking about, do you love me? I feel like you don't love me, and the whole time it's nothing but a demonic deception. He ain't interested. She not interested in no other man. The only person that got their eyes are you, but just because they saw somebody or acknowledged somebody, you think it's all deception. It's all lies. Now watch this, because if he deceive you good enough, you'll speak stuff over yourself and it'll manifest. I feel like there's a lump. I feel like there's a lump. I feel like there's a lump. I feel like something wrong with my kidney. Go to the doctor. Nothing wrong with your kidneys. No lump. You keep going to the doctor. No lump. I know my body. Because they say this dumb stuff like, I know my body. The man that put you on the screen. But But I know my body. I know my body. And then you go back home and talk about, honey, I think there's a lump here. I think there's a lump here. I think there's a lump here. And then you go back to the doctor, and after 15 exams where there was no lump, now there's a lump. Because his deception calls you to speak against yourself. And because you created in God's image, what you said, you have what you say now. But we root up every negative word that you said about your own self. Whatever you have prophesied over your body, even after God has not only told you the truth through his word, but allowed the doctor to reveal you the truth, that your body come in line with your divine healing right now in the name of Jesus. Shout, there's nothing wrong with me, three times. So the devil, these strongholds that he talks about, watch this. They mental patterns. Everybody say a stronghold is a mental pattern. I was trying to give y'all something positive today, but y'all wouldn't let me. This still positive, though. It'll create a mental pattern in you that can, watch this, it can birth things in you that really wasn't so. In essence, demons hide in mental patterns. Who are we? They hide in thoughts. Because they're not creative, but you are. Amen. So they'll start hiding in your thinking, and you done came to the altar. And you've gotten delivered from whatever was there. But then you get up the next morning and you still got the same desire to do what you were doing. Okay, is the word true or is it not? What's happening is the stronghold is embedded, or they're hiding in your mind, and you have to break the pattern by renewing your thinking. The transformed mind breaks the cycle or the pattern that he's hiding in your mind. So you think down about yourself. You start believing, I'm like my mama, I'm like my dad, if it's negative. But that's because he's hidden in a pattern in your mind to make you think that whatever they had or didn't have or became, that's the plot for your life. And God say, I've already told you what your plot was, but you won't renew your mind. Be ye transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. That's what breaks the patterns, the negative patterns. So you'll keep doing the same thing, the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, but you are born again. Why do I still want to do these things? Why do I still fuck and fight? Why can't my marriage move through the door like other people's marriage is moving through the door? Because you have not destroyed the pattern of thinking that the enemy has hidden in, because you will not renew your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is what gets devils and enemies and out of your thinking, out of your life. And God is trying to deposit richly in you today. You should receive it. You are born again, but your mind has become contaminated. Say, wash my mind, God. You didn't say it with no conviction. Say, wash my mind, God. Some of y'all got some from some filthy thinking. Say, wash my mind, God. That perversion comes from you. That perversion. This why I'm not gonna look at nobody. But this is why you almost had a nervous breakdown, because you really saved. This is why you almost had a nervous breakdown, because you really saved and you would not pluck that stuff out your mind. You would not transform your mind. So you feel like there's a contradictory spirit happening in you. You feel like you possess, you're not possessed, you saved. You can't be possessed, you born again. Who am I talking? But your mind has allowed stuff to hide in it. So you want to go back to the drinking and stuff like that. I close off every access door. Some of them, God gonna blow up some of your relationships. Because you ain't got the guts. I don't know who this is for. You have not had the guts to stand up to the enemy in certain crowds. So the enemy ensured that you stay surrounded by these people. So he can keep embedding himself, but shout out three times. This is how he's been controlling you. Can I just go? This is why you feel like you don't love him no more. The same person you couldn't live without. Because you've allowed this stuff to keep coming back. Even when you clean it, you know, the house, even if it's swept and garnished, if you don't put the word of God in it, the enemy will come and fill it with the same junk again. How many times God got to deliver you? He'll do it 100 million times if he have to. But the question to you is, how many times does God have to deliver you before you deposit something else in there richly to keep that thinking out of you? But God is renewing your mind today. I say God is renewing your mind today. And why is this important? Because when you have open doors, deception will tell you that it's closed. Deception tells you that. Deception says you're not qualified. This must really be hitting home because people quiet as a mouse. And I like it. Sometimes we need to shut up in church so that the Spirit can deposit in us. And preachers feel some kind of way if people ain't shouting because they think they ain't receiving. They ain't receiving them. They trying to receive the Spirit. So he'll deceive you and tell you that it's closed. He's telling some of you, God said last week that the door is open, and the enemy tell you ain't nothing available to you. Ain't nothing better for you. Shout, that's a lie. Some of us have, I just hear the Lord so clearly, you've already predetermined in your mind that this is how you have to live all the way out the door, but God is saying that's a lie, that he has better for you. And if you don't come in alliance with it, then the enemy will start winning in your life. That door that you've been tapping on for years, you never invited God in, now God is in, and you think that it's permanently sealed, and God says it's not permanently sealed. Tell somebody to say, try one more time. Say, turn the knob. Mm-hmm. Hardship, where does that come from? Misfortune, where does that come from? It comes directly from the devil to make you feel like you've missed your fortune. Misfortune comes to make you feel like you've missed your fortune, your future. In God, and you ain't missed it. You 35, you 25, you whatever. You got 50 more years ahead of you in the earth. How you gonna be done missed it? Why would God lock you out and then torment you for 50 more years down here and you can't get the door? You can't get through the door. I'm prophesying you'll get through the door this year. You need to get to the other side of the door because you've almost lost hope in everything that God ever told you. You got to get through the door. Your survival in God, some of us even sitting here today, you 1 week away from never coming back again, and God is saying, turn the knob again. You can get through the door. Turn it one more time. You was doing it in your own strength, not by power, not by might, by my spirit. Turn it by my spirit this time. Go after the woman. Go after your husband one more time. Turn the knob again. They was in their feelings all that other time. Say, go back one more time. So we're going through, people going through, even though they have a word. Why? Because every promise, every prophecy, anytime God promised you abundance provision, you're going to be challenged for that. What is he challenging you for? The end result? No. He challenging you for the word. Without the word, you don't have an end result. Without the word, you don't have a hope in a future. Your future is tied to some word. That healing manifests through your body. That God will raise you up and elevate you and fill your mouth with his words, that you would spit it out and pierce the hearts of people, that many would be. What is he fighting you for? He ain't fighting you for that. Once you receive the word, he know he can't stop it. Amen to this. Once you receive the word of God, he know he can't stop it. So he'll try to deceive you out of it. Say, I will not function in deception. Say, I will not function in deception. I've learned this. Almost everything that the enemy does to you is short-lived. Seem like forever, but it really ain't. It's short-lived. The more you see the aggression of the adversary, he understands that. So watch this. Even when the enemy has permission to come up against you, it's only because God knows he's already given you some type of victory that you can get to, that you can use and come out of it. So God never puts you in a position where you're supposed to lose. He just don't. Not with some attack. He don't do that. So like when the enemy comes to answer, when the angels and Satan had to come before the council of heaven, he had to tell the truth. He had to tell God, where you been? I've been to and fro throughout the earth. You've been taking Job? Yeah, I've been attacking Job. Of course you've been. But God knows that he had already given Job enough to win. He wasn't supposed to lose. So what the enemy does is that he'll start getting us to believe that what he is doing with all this aggression, that somehow you're being overpowered. But what you're witnessing, listen to me closely, you're witnessing him realizing that his time in that attack is over. So his aggression is him panicking. Boy, I'm preaching this real good. What you experiencing in your life that you feel like you're not going to survive, if you would come in agreement with God that you're going to survive and that you're going to make it to your expected end, the aggression will happen. But that's a panic move. That's your signal that it's almost over. He hits you with the worst that he got, the most that he can do, in the last session of the attack, because he know that his time is running out. I'm telling somebody else, whatever you've been dealing with that you think that you're going to cave up under, you almost at the end of it. Keep moving towards your open door. It's almost over. The devil is panicking. You survived the worst of everything he could do in your heart, in your mind, in your marriage, in your money. You survived the worst of it already, because if he could have defeated you, you wouldn't have been sitting in these seats this morning. The fact that you are sitting here means you got something left. Tell somebody you got a little bit left. Tell them, say, you got a little bit left. And God says it's only for a little while. That pressure, that warfare, that residue from your past that keep tormenting you, it's breaking now. Say it's breaking now. Even now, it's breaking over your life. That God is getting you out of it somehow. That God has made a way for, if you'll respond to it. What does the response look like? You move under pressure. You keep moving. You keep going forward. You never back up. Say no retreat, no surrender. You keep moving forward. You keep advancing. Even if it's little steps, you praise God in that very moment, but you never retreat. You never take back your words. You never take back your confession. You hold on to your confession of faith. Why? Because it has great recompense of reward, but you never retreat. Tell somebody, say, God will back you up if you don't back down. If you do not back down in this hour, God will ensure that he backs you up. You have the backing of heaven right now. Walk through your door. Nobody's going to drag you through, sir. Nobody's going to pull you out. You got to move under pressure. You have to control your thinking. You got to control your mouth. You got to control what you let into your heart. You got to move under pressure. You got to say, this is where I desire to go. This is where God wants me to go this day, this season of my life, and say, I will not be denied. I will not be denied. Why? That's a mentality. That's a mindset. It's a different kind of mindset. I purpose in my life. I just, especially when I know I got something from God, I won't accept defeat. Eventually, I believe if I got it from God, it's got to work. Amen. I told somebody about to make a decision. I said, press them for what God said. If you don't have a God said, I understand your surrender. If you don't have a God said, I understand you quitting. But if you got a God said, what you supposed to do? You press forward under pressure. You train your spirit to turn off what the enemy is doing to you, and I'm only going to be responsive to the Holy Ghost. I turn off the noise. I turn off what the enemy's doing. I'm only going to respond to what I hear God say. What's your God said? Huh? What's your God said? If you ain't got a God said, I understand you quitting. But if you got a God said, what are you talking about? This is your season where God has carved out, with all the negative going in the world, God has carved out a portal for you to get through. What you complaining about? Go through the portal. Go through the door. Follow what, if you can't see him, if you can't trace him, follow his voice. If you got a prayer life, when you can't see what God is doing, sir, you follow his voice. And his voice will lead you right beside the still waters. He'll lead you to a place where he'll restore your soul. He'll lead you in a place where he'll prepare a table before your enemies. He'll lead you to a place where he'll anoint your head with oil. And guess what? And there's nothing the devil can do about it. I say there's nothing the devil can do about it. I say there's nothing the devil can do about it. Move under pressure. You're a believer. You've been created different. You've been wired different by God. That's the only reason why you hadn't quit all these other times. Because spiritually, God has wired you with a no-quit mentality. You've made it through so much in your life, you can make it through this door. If you got to crawl, crawl. If you got to roll, roll. If you got to have latch on to somebody else, either way, say, I'm getting through my door. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a good hand. Praise. You will not be denied in this hour. I'm not going to accept no denials, no retreats. No, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself in this hour. I'm not going to let negative things people have said. I don't need the agreement of man. I need the agreement of heaven. And when I come into agreements with heaven, heaven will get me through it one way or the other. Heaven going to get you through it. Stay in agreement with God. You're going to get through. I say you're going to get through.